Our reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, and it's the account of Jesus' birth and the angel's visit to the shepherds. Let me read that for you. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Just a few days ago, I asked my wife, "What brings you most joy at Christmas?" What do you think she said? Was it having her daughter home from university? Was it spending time with all of her family? Was it having her husband off from work for a few days? No, it wasn't decorations or Christmas movies. It wasn't even presents. It was food. Now, I'm sure she meant to say Jesus. We'll take that as read. That's what she meant to say. But food is what she instantly came up with. And I wonder what it is you like eating at Christmas. I told some of you last Sunday that sausage meat stuffing is my favourite thing to eat. So I was very pleased to see it on the side, ready to go into the oven this morning. Closely followed by Christmas pudding with brandy butter. That is also on my list. Ruth Humphreys, who's here today, one of our members here, told me after last week's service that for her, Christmas dinner is all about the bread sauce. She would happily have bread sauce and the gravy, and that would do for her. Maybe for you, it is Christmas cake, or the mince pies, or even the Brussels sprouts. Anybody really like the Brussels sprouts? Wow, that is quite a number. Glad I'm not in church tomorrow. I quite like a little bit of Stollen myself. So if anybody sees any cheap after Christmas, you know where to send it. It could be all the sweets. It could be the chocolate coins, or the selection box. Maybe it's that box of heroes that you had, or a nice big tin of Quality Street, or Coronation Street, as my son called it last week. Now, it has to be said that Christmas lunch wasn't the highlight of the year at Steyning Grammar School in West Sussex just before Christmas. I wonder if you saw the pictures. Here's the Christmas dinner at Steyning Grammar School. Not really designed to fill you with comfort and joy. I hope you might be eating something slightly more appetizing later, or at least pretend if it looks something like that. I don't know what the shepherds were tucking into on their first Christmas evening. I'm really tempted to say shepherd's pie, of course, but the Bible doesn't tell us. But the Bible does tell us this: whether they ate something that kind of kept them warm and gave them joy, they certainly heard some unexpected news that did exactly the same. We've had plenty of news headlines, haven't we, through the year, which have kind of sucked the joy out from us. So I think we're due a bit of good news this morning. And here in our story, the shepherds got really good news. News that was completely out of the blue, which really lifted their spirits, which gave them great joy. And they were told as well, this news of great joy would be great joy for all the people. So I hope this good news of great joy will warm your hearts this morning. So what was the unexpected news of great joy? Firstly, that a Saviour had been born. The angel said, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born." For those of you who are parents, I wonder how you announce the birth of your children. Was it phone calls to different people? Did you send a group text message out about it? Maybe you posted something up on social media or Facebook. Maybe you took out a full-page ad in the paper. Maybe you went to that extent. Or, I don't know, maybe you paid a town crier to walk up and down Beeston saying, look, like little baby Cyril has been born. Whatever you did, I imagine it's not really on the level of what we've read this morning. Sending an angel choir to announce the birth, the hills alive with the sound of music, the original, it is big news, isn't it? That is a big way to make the announcement. So why did this baby get such an announcement? Well, because this baby was worth telling everybody about, singing about. His birth was such good news of great joy for all the people. And that's because the baby who was born was a saviour, described as a saviour. A saviour, according to the dictionary, is somebody who saves someone from difficulty or from danger. So what's the danger? What's the difficulty? Well, the difficulty is, the problem is, how we've lived. The Bible tells us, our experience tells us, that we are the problem with our world. We are the big deal. Every year at our staff Christmas lunch here at the church, the trainees we have here are tasked with the very important job of providing the entertainment. That's their job. And Nat and Luke did a great job this year with the various bits of entertainment. There was a quiz that we had. There was a music game with a rubber chicken. You can ask them about that next term, what that was all about. And there was also a rap about a genealogy of Jesus. You can catch that on the Beeston Free socials if you've not already seen it. I have to say, future generations of trainees have a lot to live up to. I mean, it is the main interview question. What's your entertainment level like when you come to do Christmas? But Dan Robertson reminded us, he is on the staff now, he was a trainee. He said that he and Catherine Wiltshire, when they were trainees, did family fortunes. Some of you might remember contributing answers to the family fortunes. But one of the questions was this: what one thing would you change about the church if you could? What one thing would you change about the church? And people said different things. You know, some said change the bricks. Some said change the service times. Some said change the ministers. Like all kinds of stuff that they wanted changed. All that sort of thing. But I'm sure they didn't write change the ministers. But one person simply wrote back and said the one thing they would change was themselves. Themselves. Guess if we all thought deeply about it enough, maybe we'd all say the same. Because none of us are perfect. All of us are selfish and self-centered at heart. It might well be the season of goodwill toward men, but we know how hard all of us find that in practice. None of us live how we should. None of us even live up to our own standards, let alone God's standards. If we had to draw up the list of who is naughty and who is nice today, well, we'd all be on the naughty side, wouldn't we? That's the reality. And we can't put it right ourselves. We need someone who can erase our past, someone who can take away our bad record, someone who can save us from our sins, the wrong things we've done. And that's what Jesus came to do. He was born to be a saviour. And that is good news of great joy. A friend of mine said recently, if you're a Christian, your past does not define you. Jesus' past does. Imagine today when you woke up and you saw the various presents and cards you had, and you saw a nice envelope right in the middle of all your other cards and presents, and the envelope was stamped with the postmark of heaven. And when you opened it, this is what you read. George, here's what I want you to know. Every wrong word and every impure thought, every selfish act you've ever done or will ever do, I've dealt with it all. It's all covered, dealt with, paid for. My death on the cross was enough. My Father says that you and him are all good now. He loves you so much. Have a very happy Christmas. Signed, Jesus Christ. Man, that would be the best present you've ever had, wouldn't it? And yet that is true. That is the present we've received if we've accepted this truth about Jesus as Saviour. Jesus is a Saviour who was not only born for us, but went on to give his life for us, to die on that first Good Friday to pay the debt for all our sin. And that should mean great joy for us all this morning. A Saviour has been born, so we can be rescued from our past. So is that news that brings a smile to your face this morning? You've all got masks on, I can't see, but I hope behind the mask there's a big smile on your face. Does that bring a lightness to your spirit that is joy for you, whatever else is going on this particular Christmas? This unexpected news of great joy to the shepherds and to us, a saviour has been born. But secondly, the other part of the good news is this, that he is Lord. He is the Lord. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. What's the most spectacular show of lights you've ever seen at Christmas? Here's the one for me. This house was just a mile or so from where we once lived. You can get a little bit of a taste of it in the picture. But people used to drive from all around to come and see it. It was spectacular on a road called Tangerine Avenue. The guy who put the lights up started some months before to get it all ready. That's a lot of light, isn't it? That's pretty impressive. But I am fairly sure if the shepherds were sat here on the front row this morning, they would say, "Oh, George, you think that's impressive light? You should have seen the angels that night outside Bethlehem. The glory of the Lord shone around them." That's what it was about. It was so spectacular. We were not just impressed. We were absolutely terrified of these lights. And I don't know if you noticed in the reading, but the impressive angel was called the angel of the Lord. And the glory lighting up the hillside was called the glory of the Lord. The angel of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. So who was the Lord? Well, it was the baby Jesus. It was the baby who was wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Jesus was not only born as a saviour, but he was born to be Lord. What does Lord mean? Well, Lord means someone who has authority over others. And to be honest, that's where the birth of Jesus gets a bit more challenging for some of us. Because if Jesus is simply a saviour, if he was simply somebody to rescue us, that might be okay. But he comes also to be Lord, somebody to rule us. And that's a challenge for us today. Because we like being in charge. And yet we can't really cope with that responsibility. Home Alone, I think, must be my favourite Christmas movie. Muppet's Christmas Carol comes pretty close. But Home Alone is probably my favourite. I watched it again just this week. At the start of the film, Kevin McAllister, age 8, ends up in charge. He ends up at home. He's all on his own. He's got the run of the house to himself. Nobody to boss him around. He can watch the movies he wants to watch. He can eat all the ice cream he wants to eat. He has a great time to start with. He loves it. But toward the end of the film, he goes to see a local Santa Claus who is just packing up for the night. And Kevin says this Christmas, instead of presents, he just wants his family back. His mum, his dad, his brother Buzz, all the rest, even his Uncle Frank, if Santa has time for that. You see, like Kevin, the idea of being in control sounds great. But in reality, we just can't cope with it, can we? Just can't handle that. The issues in our lives and the world, the responsibility to decide what is right and what is wrong, that is too much for us. It's a bit like giving your 3-year-old the responsibility to do the Christmas dinner today. You just wouldn't do that. It's beyond them. Here's what we need. We need a saviour who can rescue us from our past, and we need a Lord who can direct our future. And Jesus came to be both. He came to be both saviour and Lord. And the angels and the shepherds saw that that was really good news of great joy. Someone to forgive our past and someone to trust with our future. That's really good news to celebrate this Christmas. That is good news of great joy to warm our hearts. And I hope it will do that for you this Christmas day and also beyond. We have a Saviour and we have a Lord. We've got a little gift for you as you go this morning. This book talks a bit more about the amazing good news of Jesus. If you're a guest with us today, we'd love you to take that away with you. There's a chocolate to eat that you can eat before you reach your car. And there's also a little leaflet explaining all about a course we have starting in the new year, 16th of January. Called Christianity Explored, all about how you can find out more about who Jesus is. We believe that Jesus is for all of life, not just for Christmas. So we'd love you to come along in January and check out those details. And if you're a kid here today, we've got these books as well for you to take away. So do grab one of those on the door as you go. Well, thanks all for listening this morning. Really lovely to see you. We're going to finish by singing our final carol, The First Noel. Please do stand.